It's the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge, kitchen and bath showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Yeah. How about this? How about if your caller, it's called 19. At 312-981-7200, you rip me off for the Builder Supply Outlet $50 gift certificate kit. I say the same thing every day, and I'm just having trouble. I think Daddy does need a cocktail.
I know. Is it almost Friday?
Builder Supply Outlet in Broadview. True outlet prices every day. Home of the Edge, the state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom. Not quite Friday yet. It's only Wednesday.
We'll get there.
But don't worry about it, Violetta. You only have about half an hour left to work today.
Oh, yeah.
Because Northwestern basketball comes your way at 5:45.
Go Cats. Go Cats.
Checking in at
number 5.
The White House says that President-elect Donald Trump has nominated Secretary of State nominee Rex Tillerson. Currently, the chairman and CEO of ExxonMobil because of his close ties to Russia. But Tillerson has spoken positively about the Trans-Pacific Trade Deal and the Paris Climate Treaty, both of which the president-elect doesn't like.
The president-elect cares more about his Secretary of State's position on Russia than he does about his Secretary of State nominee's position on trade and climate change.
You see, it was all nice between the Obama administration and Donald Trump. And then Trump said that he blamed Aleppo yesterday on Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. Went back into campaign mode. And now the White House is turning back on Trump.
There's a nasty turn here. It's going both ways.
Yeah.
Feels like the election again in a certain way.
Yes. It's going to feel like the election. Well, it felt like that in 2008, too. Remember? I mean, as soon as Barack Obama won, there was the Republicans basically, got up there and said, well, this isn't right. And this, everything, including the kitchen sink got thrown. And the same thing, it's going to be, good for the goose, good for the gander here. I think these next 4 years are going to be a lot of finger pointing. It's been like this now in, modern politics. And that's just what it is. I think my favorite part here is Joe Arpaio, the outgoing sheriff of Maricopa County in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He says he's got new details about how Barack Obama was born overseas, and he is going to unveil them tomorrow.
Oh gosh, they're still
going back to that. Now, but this is the time to reveal them after the president has already been in office for 8 years. And here's the other piece, though. Now, think about this. That if he proves it and it becomes substantiated in a legal sense, then every piece of legislation that the president signed would be invalid.
I'll wait till I see it.
Yeah.
Let's wait.
I think if he had it, listen, Donald Trump, remember Donald Trump said millions of dollars trying to prove it, and it didn't really work out for him. So if anybody could do it. Listen, Donald Trump got elected president. If he could do it, he could do it. Overturn.
We'll wait and see on that.
Okay. Just throwing
that out there.
Yeah, just throwing a little gasoline around. Where's the campfire?
Number 4.
All right. Incoming White House Chief of Staff Ryan Priebus seemingly suggesting during an interview with Hugh Hewitt. Why was he with Lars Larson or Carl Carlson? Why wasn't he with those guys?
Why do they all have those names?
I don't know, because it's talk radio.
Why aren't you Row and...
I could be,
I
guess.
About that?
I don't know why. You know what? I blame my agent.
Yeah, he got that.
You should have
wrong.
Come up with that. You should have been Row.
Worked for those guys.
Listen, honey, baby, boo boo, listen.
Bubby.
You should be Rowan. It'll be great. Everybody has to have two names in talk radio. You're going to love it. Listen, I've got lunch right now. I can't talk.
Another client. I got Hugh right. Hewitt on the other line. Bye-bye. Bye, Booby.
That's how it goes. Right now, I can't talk. I've got somebody bigger, more important than you on the other line. Bye-bye, Booby. Hello?
Well, what about Rowan? See, could have been.
Could have been, yeah. Yep. Could have been huge in this business. Anyway, the point here is that Rice Priebus is saying that the president-elect might do away or radically change the White House press briefing situation.
I think that many things have to change, and I think that it's important that we look at all of those traditions that are great, but quite frankly, as you know, don't really make news. You know, even looking at things like the daily, you know, the daily White House briefing from the press secretary, I mean, there's a lot of different ways that things can be done, and I can assure you we're looking at that.
Turning everything on its head.
Well, I can assure you this is going to happen. They'll release it on Twitter.
You mean press releases will be made via Twitter directly right. to people?
Because they don't because I think this is what they're saying is we don't need to get it filtered through the press. We can just directly release it out to the people, and the press can all yammer about it if they want, but we don't, they're not going to put anybody up at that podium every day to take questions.
Is that why we haven't heard who their press secretary is? I mean,
well, they'll have one.
They'll have one, right?
Yeah.
I've already said that Kellyanne Conway doesn't seem that interested in that, even though
Kellyanne Conway has turned down working mm-hmm. in the White House. Hmm. Although CNN is reporting that Ivanka Trump is going to be using the First Lady's office at the White House.
Until Barron is done with school, or is that sort of an indefinite
position? Until Barron's done with graduate school, I think it's going to be the way that's going to happen.
He's getting his PhD in computer science.
Yes.
So we're still waiting in New York for a little bit longer.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, I just mark my word, she is not moving to Washington, D.C. You'll see her there from time to time, like, you know, the inauguration and stuff like that. But she will not be a permanent fixture in D.C. Ivanka will be the permanent fixture in D.C.
Hmm. Looks like there are some signs pointing in that direction if she's taken over the First Lady's office.
Oh, imagine a single Donald Trump in the White House. He's going to make Bill Clinton seem like Pope Pius.
Oh, God.
And his daughter has to keep tabs on him, which is even creepier.
You know what? That happened with me, too, and it did not work. I can promise you that.
His daughter was younger.
Yeah. Well, no, but his daughter, in the aftermath, was also responsible. She had babysitting duty with Bill. Especially when mom was running for president or secretary of state or any of those things.
What's dad up to?
Yeah.
Let's go.
She had the responsibility of minding the dad. Hey, you know what we should do?
Hmm.
There is a hot new nightclub that just opened up.
Oh, God.
I can get us in.
I don't want to think about it. But that's true. They did appear on the campaign trail a lot together.
Yeah. Dad, Chelsea over dad. Here, dad. What? Hold on. How are you doing? Oh, man. Yeah, it's going to be. Yeah. But if she leaves him in the middle of this, a single Donald Trump as president of the United States, there's going to be a lot of Tic Tac swallowing.
Hard to imagine.
I'm going to tell you that right now.
Does Melania still get half of everything before he became president?
She gets half the gross domestic product. That's how she gets. But she gets.
She gets an ambassador to Slovenia
right.
post.
She gets $10 trillion on the way out.
Not bad.
Sell a hotel to me. No.
I put one in Slovenia.
Yeah, right. You think he's going to trust her with putting all the companies in her name?
And make a good friend with you at Putin. Now you owe me.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's see.
Raised in Chicago, reporting on Chicago. That's Mark Sapelsa and Micah Mater. Watch Chicago's very own Mark and Micah weeknights on WGN-TV News.
Checking in on Top 5 at
number 3.
LeBron James in Brooklyn, New York last night at the annual Sports Illustrated Sports Person of the Year. He has won it now for the second time. He will grace the cover for the 26th time. And listen to this. He now becomes the third most featured athlete in Sports Illustrated history behind. Anybody want to guess?
I'll give that to Mark. That's a layup.
Michael Jordan.
Don't do it. I actually have inside information on what happened last night, Ro, because I don't want to call anybody.
Show's over at 5:45, so go fast.
Well, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was sitting right next to LeBron at the dinner, and LeBron was really enjoying the music, which Kareem was not. And Kareem looked at LeBron like he was completely from another planet with this disapproving look. I have the video. I'd like to show it to you sometime. That's all I've got.
I don't have time for you. He's the third most featured athlete behind our own Michael Jordan and, of course, the greatest of all time, Muhammad Ali.
Well, first of all, I'm humbled. And honored to be the recipient of this award once again. It means more for, you know, my family and my friends and my fans and my kids that I represent with my foundation. I'm more happy of the fact that I'm receiving this on behalf of them.
Wow. I love him.
I do too. You know, there are a lot of athletes that say, I'm humbled by this. And you're like, all right, whatever. I mean, it's a great honor. But with him, you really believe it.
Guy's
he does seem true to himself and his roots.
Yeah, the guy's been in the spotlight since he's 14 and hasn't ever had anything bad. Like, not one incident.
And I got to also say, too, I mean, I know people got upset when he took his talents to South Beach while he was wearing basically what was a picnic tablecloth shirt when he was doing it. But he proved that he's a human being, and he went back to Cleveland, and it was great. It's great for the city, great for everybody.
So great.
Here we go.
Number two.
Library of Congress has announced its annual batch of films to be inducted into the National Film Registry. This year's honorees are Alfred Hitchcock's The Birds.
I want you to go as quietly as possible. Do not make a sound until I tell you to run. Then run as quickly as you can. Now, does everybody understand?
Yes.
All right, John, you lead the way.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah. Don't want to hear that.
Suzanne Plachette, by the way. So beautiful in that movie. John Hughes, The Breakfast Club.
You're not fooling anybody, Bender. The next screw that falls out is going to be you.
Well-deserved.
Rob Reiner's The Princess Bride. Wow.
You've got an overdeveloped sense of vengeance. It's going to get you into trouble someday.
My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
Mandy Patinkin right there. The great Mandy Patinkin. Have fun storming the castle. That is a great film. Disney's The Lion King. By the way, Mufasa is dead. Donald Trump learned that yesterday and tweeted it out. Same way he learned about Castro during the CIA briefing.
The intelligence briefing, he was so tell on me, his phone.
I need to know at The Rock, and now when the big fight with the lions and the hyenas, who won that?
You were hoping for the hyenas, right?
Of course. I had them. I had them 2-1. Ridley Scott's Thelma and Louise makes the list.
Let's not get caught. What are you talking about? Let's keep going. What do you mean? Go. You sure? Yeah.
Best ending
great film
ever in a movie. All right, and
Brad
finally.
Pitt too. Don't forget that.
Number one.
Show me that smile again.
Alan Thicke, best known for his role as Dr. Jason Seaver on the TV sitcom Growing Pains, is dead. Thicke passed away yesterday, suffering a heart attack while playing hockey with his teenage son on the ice rink in Burbank, California. Thicke wrote about a dozen theme songs. That's people don't realize this.
I didn't know that about him.
A dozen theme songs for TV and for films.
Different Strokes was one of them.
In two realms, he often worked, sitcoms and game shows. So, like you said, Different Strokes.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum. What might be right for you may not be right for some.
And that's him singing in the background there. And you've also got Facts of Life.
You take the good, you take the bad, you take them both, and there you have the facts of life. The facts
Wizard of Odds.
Who's the man with the money makes a dark day sunny? Who's the fella every day gives a bundle away?
That's Alan Thicke singing. Right there.
See where his son gets his musical abilities. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know that about him.
And the original version of The Wheel of Fortune.
Gosh.
How about this?
From a small town Canadian boy, right? Or he spent a lot of his childhood, at least, in rural Canada.
It was just over a year ago on December 4th, actually, that Alan Thicke joined our sister station, Channel 9's Morning News, WGN Morning News, for an interview and talked about his involvement in writing television themes.
I don't call myself a musician in front of Robin any more than I'm a hockey player in front of Patrick Kane, but I had a few chords and I just kept moving them around until I got caught.
Do you get royalties on all these songs?
I do.
You've written
I do.
That have been
I mean,
coming
the
from...
fact that you played that now, I get
cha-ching.
11 cents for
right.
that.
Oh, there
yeah.
Now the world don't move
hey,
to the.
I sang that. That was my voice on the.
Really?
On the original track, yes. Yeah.
See, they didn't know either. Gosh. What a talented guy.
How about that? And if you'd like, we have a podcast up. Mark DiCarlo, who is a Chicago-born and raised actor and comedian, was on the ice with Alan Thicke yesterday when this whole thing went down.
Years.
And we talked to him a little bit earlier on the program, and that podcast is up at WGNRadio.com. All right. We have now come upon our time to say Alan Thicke was 69.
The top five at five.